I grew up in a medium-sized town, East Tennessee, Oak Ridge, just outside of Knoxville. It was a nice place to grow up, a small town feel with the convenience of a bustling city just 30 minutes away. It was the summer of 1978, and my older brother and I were preparing to tour the Southeast with the joyful sounds, the First Christian Church Youth Choir. Our youth choir toured during the summers for a few years when I was growing up. About 20 of us sang, and then there were parents and chaperones that went along with us. Janice Ketterer was our youth director, our youth choir director. She was good, but she was also very demanding. I was in middle school then, and other than church camp and visiting family, I hadn't been away from my parents for very long. That particular year, the tour was set to take over in the Southeast, and we started out in Athens, Tennessee. Eventually, we would make it to Florida. The tour would last for 2 weeks, including a stop at some recreational park or the beach. We would perform in churches along the way and stay in the church members' homes. Phyllis, my best friend and member of the choir, and I would stay together. I remember being somewhat nervous about staying in the house of strangers, even though I would have my friend with me. I wondered whether the house would have enough room for us or whether we could stay together. After all, if someone came to my house, some kid was sleeping on the floor or busting out their brother to get to the couch. How could people have enough room for all of us? I look back on those times now and note that everywhere we stayed had room for us, and they were all prepared. Some even had more than one bathroom, which was a treat, so Phyllis and I could share. Miss Ketterer would always assure us there would be place for us in these homes, and that the visiting church had prepared for us, and that we would be welcomed. It's the fifth Sunday after Easter. You might wonder why the lectionary has given us a scripture that has returned us to the before the resurrection. Perhaps during this time after the crucifixion and the resurrection, we need to be reminded again that we have life eternal because of Jesus Christ, and that Christ has gone before us to prepare a place. Let's take a minute and set the stage for this week's scripture. The chapter before our scripture, chapter 13, narrates the foot washing, the last meal shared by Jesus and his disciples, the departure of Judas to the dark side, and Jesus' betrayal by the loyal Peter. He has commanded his disciples to love each other. And chapter 14 picks up direct words from Jesus to his disciples about his impending departure. They are words of comfort, words of hope, promise, and plain speech, and little mincing of words as to what's soon to take place. Our passage opens with Jesus attempting to reassure his disciples. He has commanded his disciples to love each other, and he has predicted his own departure. No wonder the 11 are upset and confused. Who is to be trusted? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to a place prepared to you? I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you are also. Verse 2 in the New Revised Standard Version says, many dwellings are in my Father's house. In 1611, when the King James Version was written, it used the word mansion, which is what I grew up with. Eugene Boring and Frank Craddock tell us that the English word mansion simply meant resident, residence with no suggestion of luxury. The point is that God has lots of room in God's household. And he has room for a big family. Our Lord's intention seems to be to comfort his disciples with the thoughts that nothing can cast them out of this heavenly house. They might be left alone by him on earth. They might even be thrown out of the Jewish church and find no resting place or refuge on earth. But there would always, always be room enough for them in heaven and a house with which they would never be expelled. Our scripture goes on to share the concerns of the disciples. Thomas, the one who likes to follow the rules, needs a plan and is sometimes known as the Eeyore of John. He tells Jesus they do not know where he is going and questions how they will know the way. Jesus replies with one of his most known passages in the Bible. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to God except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This statement by Jesus is a promise, a word of comfort to the disciples. Jesus himself is all they need. There's nothing to panic about. There's no need to start searching desperately. And there's no need for a secret map. John is the I Am gospel, if you weren't aware. And in John, we have seven of the I Am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the vine, the true vine. Perhaps in another sermon, we'll go through the I Ams again. Later in that same passage, Philip shares his confusion and need for answers. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus, not quite happy with Philip, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me has done his work. There is a part of me that feels for Thomas and Peter. I mean, everything in their world is in turmoil. Jesus calls them. He tells them he's leaving. Judas has gone to the dark side, and the beloved Peter will betray Jesus. They've spent 3 years with Jesus. Now he is leaving, and they can't go. I think I'd be concerned as well. I feel a little anxious just thinking about how they must have felt. But wait. Jesus tells them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself so that where I am, you are there also. In God's wisdom, God sets a place for us, a dwelling with God, as Christ went before and prepared. We need to be reminded again and again that we have life eternal because of Christ, and that Christ has gone before us to prepare a place. There are times in our lives when we are afraid. We are anxious and unable to see the light for all the darkness in our lives. I'd like to share a story of a house and a promise of love. A few years ago, Netflix released a 2013 movie called Give Me Shelter. It's based on a book called Give Me Love, Give Me Hope, Give Me Shelter by Kathy DeForia. The movie is based on Kathy's life in an organization called the Several Sources Shelters, and it's in Ramsey, New Jersey. The movie's story is about a 14-year-old pregnant girl and her struggles that lead her to Kathy and the shelter that Kathy has created for homeless pregnant teens. Kathy's story is about discipleship and how she kept her house prepared and how this home provided a great light and changed young women's lives and legislation for the state of New Jersey. Kathy was married and obtained a psychology degree and an MBA from New York University. However, Kathy was married and was in an abusive situation. And when she ultimately decided to leave, she did so with only the clothes on her back. The experience was degrading and frightening, and it caused her great suffering, but it prepared her for the week. Work that God ultimately had in store for her. On the Camden, New Jersey streets, Kathy met other homeless people. She was especially drawn to the homeless pregnant teens who no longer had any options. With the help of a local church and the kindness of its members, Kathy was about to find a job. And she did. She found a job, and when she got back on her feet, she purchased a small house. And in that tiny house in 1981, Kathy received the call from God to open her home to the pregnant teens she met on the streets of Camden, New Jersey. Kathy's home would become the first of four Several Sources shelters. Kathy took discipleship to a whole new level with the shelters that were formed and the lives saved by the care and love for these young women. Kathy was given a $10,000 fine 2 years later for housing unwed mothers and their babies in her private home. This 15-month struggle cost Kathy her job and led to some tough decisions. You see, there's a law in New Jersey that says that you could only have one non-family member living in your home. And Kathy had three moms and three babies. The legal battle was relentless in the New Jersey State Senate, and governors became involved, the governor became involved, as did the White House and even Mother Teresa. She learned in those days how miracles do happen amid fear and anxiety. The bill passed, and it allowed for more than one non-family member to be in the home. It's called the DeForio Bill. And in 1988, Kathy received an invitation to the White House to meet the president. She was given honors for her work in helping these young women. And as of 2018, Kathy and the sponsors and the volunteers that work with the shelters have helped over 20,000 young women and their babies. While the house had only a few rooms in the beginning, Kathy and other volunteers grew the house to have many rooms. It's like the rooms we shared during our choir tours. The rooms were prepared and we were welcomed. It's like the rooms prepared for us. Jesus has prepared a special place for each of us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you are there also. For it is life eternal, the gift we have been given. Amen.